Yes, it's me, Trevor MacDonald. Once, twice, three times a newsreader. With me now is Lord John Burt, Tony Blair's new crime prevention officer. Sir John, are you going to do for crime what you did for the BBC?
Goodness, no, no, I'm hoping to do a good job. I'm going to systematically work through the criminal underworld, adding a whole new tier of unnecessary middle management to confuse and annoy everyone. I'm thinking head of arson, who reports directly to the controller of murder, who in turn answers to me. Criminals will have to submit a proposal outlining the crime to one of my new crime commissioners, who will then cordon off the crime scene with miles and miles of useless red tape.
And all of this will reduce crime how exactly?
All the criminals will become utterly demoralised and all bugger off to ITV.
Dead Ringers.
It's 18 minutes past the dawn of time. And you're listening to Today with me, John Love Machine Humphreys. Now, William Hague has come under fire recently for breaking his promises on tax. Here's Sue with the details.
Thank you. Joining me now from our radio bicycle is the leader of the Conservative Party. Mr. Hague, you've come in for some fierce questioning.
That's right, Sue, but I think you'll find that the whole unfortunate misunderstanding has been explained adequately in our new pamphlet on the subject. Harry Potter and the Conservatives U-turn on tax reduction.
I'm sorry, what?
Well, it seems this young conjuring lad can do no wrong in the public eye. So we've recruited him as our new spin doctor. Harry Potter and the Conservative Party, putting the magic back into Britain.
I'm sorry, Mr. Hague.
Actually, I've changed my name to Potter.
Really? And what does Fionn think about that?
She's as pleased as punch, especially as now I spend a whole lot more time paying attention to her goblet of fire.
Potter, leader of the Conservative Party.
Actually, it's called the Hogwarts Party now.
Mr. Hague, Potter, thank you.
Do you want to see my magic wand?
Hello and welcome back to Changing Rooms with me, the almost... the almost unbearably cheerful Carol Smiley. This week, our team has gone a bit further afield to the Alpha Quadrant to meet Captain Jean-Luc Picard and his crew of the Starship Enterprise. Hello, Jean.
Good afternoon, Carol.
Right, now it's time to open your eyes and see what Linda Barker and the team have been up to.
Oh, my God. The Enterprise. Linda, what have you done?
Well, firstly... sliding doors were very 25th century. So we've got rid of them and we've replaced them with stripped and waxed mock Victorian ones. And I think they work really well. Now before, on that wall, there was that big screen, which was a focal point. But as you can see, we've replaced it with a soothing fish tank, which I think works really well. This big chair in the middle here, we thought that was too modern, so we put on a pale base colour and some antiquing wax, and when it's rubbed through, you can see it gives this lovely cracked effect, which I think works really, really, really well. But the best bits are in the transporter room. Now, what have you done in there, handy Captain Kirk?
Well, I've knocked up a fire surround and dado rail in MDF. And then me and Mr. Scott covered the whole lot in mirror tiles and chicken wire. What do you think?
By all the gods, it's absolutely dreadful. Carol, she's made it look like a gay Klingon's boudoir.
No, no, that's not strictly true. For a gay Klingon's boudoir, she should really have made a Ferengi skin throw. But sadly, her sewing machine was broken.
Let me see that. Commander Riker is quite good at fixing these 20th century looms. Ah, here he is. Number one, take this machine. Make it so.
Hello, I'm Johnny Vaughan, and this is Movie Watch. Arthur Hollywood successfully used the latest computer technology to allow the late Oliver Reed to star in Gladiator. They plan to use more dead British actors for the sequel.
Russell Crowe is Maximus in Gladiator 2.
My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius, father to a murdered son, husband to a murdered wife, and I will have my vengeance in this life or the next.
My God, just listen to him going on. All the same, these Italians, you know, all olive oil and sun-dried vespers and a little over-familiar, if you get where I'm coming from, eh? Very big hands, you know what I mean?
Also featuring Les Dawson as Northern Comedicus.
My mother-in-law hates fighting in this arena. The lions get stuck in her teeth.
And Joyce Grenville is Jolliest Hockey Stickiest.
Now then, gladiators, sit up straight and pay attention.
Maximus, don't do that. It's not big. Well, it is big, but it's certainly not clever. And Sibylla doesn't like it.
BBC Radio 4. I'm Brian Perkins. The BBC has announced 1,100 jobs are to be axed. Oh, really? Well, if Greg Dyke comes down here waving my P-45 around, then there'll be a very different kind of axing going on. It's not the first time I've done it. Remember Grace Archer? Enough said.
Hi there, welcome to Jerry Springer. Joining me and my all-over tan, paid-for-by-your-trailer-trash problems, a young man who is in love with his dog. Okay, so tell us, fella, what's the story?
Well, my friends think I'm in love with, like, Scoob!
Okay. Well, let's bring in your friends Daphne, Fred, Velma, and Scooby. Let's bring them up. Okay, now, you guys all travel around in a van together, is that right?
And when we get out to investigate ghosts, Fred always goes with us two girls, while Shaggy always goes off alone with Scooby.
Is this true? Okay, time for Jerry's final thought. He fell in love with a dog, and, you know, he'd have gotten away with it, too, if it hadn't been for his pesky friends.
London Academy of Performing Arts.
Yes, hello. My name is Brian Sewell. I needed some help and coaching with my speech, I believe.
I'm not really quite sure what sort of thing you're looking for.
Well, you see, I speak far too posh, and I wanted some help to make me sound more common.
I think we may be able to find a voice teacher. What is it that you need to do it for?
Well, I think I receive a great deal of ribaldry on the account of the manner of my speech, being terribly upper class and far back. And I just wanted to try some methods to make my speech more normal, more common, and make me sound a more regular kind of bloke.
Are you looking for just ordinary, what one might call RP, or are you looking for something a bit more street?
Definitely. I must become more street. Where would one start with a voice like this?
Well, everyone who has voice training comes to it from the point of having certain individual peculiarities on their accent.
I see, because I certainly need to change it from this. Maybe if I just lower the tone of my voice slightly down a little bit, something like that. That's not quite as bad, is it? That's a lot better. Goodness, you're helping me already, sir. This is very, very good.
That's wonderful.
I wonder,
Maybe I should add a little bit of an accent to make me more street.
Okay.
Let's see. Sorry, now if I, like, bring the accent in, you know, just that's a lot more better.
Well, that's good, yeah.
Yeah, listen to that. I've got it sorted now. That is wicked, dude. You know, listen, I'll tell you something. You know, all of those infernal half-wits who chose to make my accent a target of their cruel and unceasing ribaldry are now gloriously scuppered.
Indeed they are.
You've sorted me out, Gov, and you're a top bloke incha, geezer.
Thank you very much.
So, Kevin Keegan, it's been a disappointing summer, but we have to regroup, refocus, and get back on track for the World Cup qualifiers. So what are your plans?
Well, I said after Euro 2000 that, you know, we should be looking to include, you know, completely fresh talent in the final squad of 11. And, you know, young players that are incredibly fit, you know, agile, have strength and, you know, the passion to win.
Maybe Liverpool's Steven Gerrard or perhaps Sunderland's Kevin Phillips.
What? Oh, God, no. I'm talking about Venus and Serena Williams. And, I mean, you know, you've got to be honest, they're brilliant. And they've probably got an English uncle or something. And, you know, all we have to do is explain an offside rule and we can't lose, you know, simple as that.
Hello, hello, my wonderful audience, and welcome to my new show, Dale's Showbiz Pals. Not Showbiz Pals, but Dale's Showbiz Pals. Is that clear? And I'll be letting you in on the sparkling wit and brilliant conversations that are the everyday stuff of a good old showbiz chinwag. Ooh, you lucky people. And my first pal, it's Barbara Windsor. Hello there, Barbara, sweetheart. You lovely, lovely person.
You're the lovely one, Dale.
Now then, I won't hear a word of this. You're the lovely one.
No, sweetheart, you are.
No, you are.
No, really, Dale, it's you.
Well, that's all we've got time for. Goodbye.
I am the Doctor, the guardian of time and space, representative of the Time Lords of Gallifrey, committed to bring order to the universe. Wherever the web of time is threatened by the Master, I will confront him and defend the space-time continuum in the sacred name of Rassilon. If the Eye of Harmony is plunged into the vortex,
yeah,
then
thank you very much, Tom. Do you think you could just stick to the script, though?
Oh, very well. New Sparkle kills 100% of germs right under the rim.
You're listening to Today with me, Sue McGregor. Now, joining me to discuss his controversial remarks about Britain's entry into the Euro is Foreign Secretary Robin Cook, accompanied, of course, by his translator. Good morning, Mr. Cook.
Slubble up.
Mr. Cook says, good morning, Sue.
Mr. Cook, you say that entry into the Euro is inevitable. Could you expand on that statement?
Well, I have to say, it doesn't need any expansion. The economic necessity, the European bottom mountain, the single currency, the sensible courts, which is this Hobart and Borosovich. Towels on these sunbeds, the Brussels directives on the ephemeral Europe, Carrot's directives, and glorious thousand-year Reich.
Mr. Cook says he would rather not comment.
Welcome back to Movie Watch. I'm Johnny Vaughan. More new films using the latest technology to resurrect dead British stars.
My name is Sir Ethan Hunt. Let's see what's on the tape.
Oh, thank you very much. Have I got a Mission Impossible for you? And you've got to take this rolled-up newspaper. And you roll it up. No, not like that. Like that. Now, you get this jug of milk, and you pour it in the newspaper, and it pours all over the floor. Very funny, isn't it? Very funny. This magic trick will self-destruct in 20 seconds. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Good morning, Alan.
Good. What's good about it?
We've lost Euro 2000. We've lost the World Cup bid. With the BBC having lost Match of the Day, what am I going to do with my miserable Scottish brogue?
Well, never mind, Alan. I suppose you're going to be home a lot more. So, look, this will cheer you up. I've brought you breakfast in bed.
Well, you may have cooked me a full fry-up, but you know I favour a straight 4-4-2 morning meal formation. I mean, sausages is up front with a solid bacon back four defending the middle mushrooms from the egg.
Oh, all right, all right. Forget the breakfast. Look, I've dressed up for you. How about I come back to bed and cheer you up?
Well, let me just say, I've never seen such a shocking outfit. I mean, the suspenders were a bad choice for a start, but those panties leave you distinctly exposed at the back. And the fact... and the fact that they're crotchless offers you no real defence. I mean... and what about up top? You're all over the place with those front two. Very wobbly. There's just no way you're going to score.
Oh. Oh, really? Well, in that case, I'll go where I'm appreciated. I've got a date with Des Lynam.
Oh, not again. Last time, I completely disagreed with your decision to pull him off at half-time.
Nine, nine, nine with me, Michael Burke. It was 8:30 in the morning, and Duncan Smith was happily listening to the Today programme, when suddenly he heard this terrifying noise.
And now it's time for Thought for the Day with Sister Lavinia.
Duncan desperately tried to turn his radio off, but it was too late.
Yeah, there was nothing I could do. I knew that very soon I'd be engulfed by patronising twaddle.
Duncan's only hope was to put his fingers in his ears and say, la, 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 not listening, la, la, as loud as he could. But this was fast becoming a tidal wave of gibberish. Luckily, a Thought for the Day rescue helicopter was in the area and spotted Duncan weeping under his duvet. Commander Jones takes up the story.
We had reports that Thought for the Day was going to be particularly patronising that morning. But nothing prepared us for the sheer number of people banging their heads against the wall and throwing themselves under lorries.
If you find yourself trapped by a sudden and terrifying Thought for the Day, always remember the emergency procedures. 1. Find a small sore and make an incision in your cranium. 2. Scoop out your brain and pound it to a pulp. With your brain removed, you can probably survive right up to midweek with Libby Purvis. Next week on 999, we tell the extraordinary story of a man who managed to survive an incredible 58 minutes of you and yours before collapsing into a coma. Good night.
And finally, Graham Norton is on the verge of signing a contract with the BBC. A BBC spokesman said they're planning on using Norton in a variety of shows.
Audience in Nottingham, and welcome to So Question Time! Yes, it is! Now, come on, everybody on your feet. Come on, panelists, too. Lovely, lovely. So, stay standing. Stay standing. If you believe Britain should actively pursue entry to the single currency. Now, I noticed that the gorgeous Gordon Brown has sat down. Whereas you, Mr. Robin Cook, you stayed standing. And if you at home would like to be part of the Question Time audience, then you really should get out more.
Royal Shakespeare Theatre, good afternoon.
Hello, the Royal Shakespeare Company.
Yes.
Hello, it's Chris Eubank. I wanted to ask about joining the Royal Shakespeare Company as an actor, you know?
As an actor?
Yes.
Chris, that's Auden from the Barbican End in London.
That's good, that's good.
It's done from our casting department there. We don't have a casting department here at Stratford.
Because I've always been a great respecter of the thespian arts, you know?
Well, it is a lovely profession to be in, I'm sure.
Is it difficult to join? Would it be difficult for me to engage to become an actor as part of the company? Would that be laced with difficultness?
I don't know. You know, I don't know how they go about choosing actors, etc.
Because I've done the coffee advert.
Of course you've done.
Have you seen them?
I have, yes. Yeah, the one where the chappie says to you that he's driving along and you stop for a coffee break and...
I think it's time for some refreshment.
That's it, yeah.
Actually, you may recognise me. Yeah, I'm a sportsman.
Sportsman. I don't follow sports.
And then we stop, and then we have a drink of coffee.
And he calls you, he says you're somebody else,
doesn't he? Yeah, he says,
yeah. In the rain.
That's it, you're Frank Bruno.
That's
he says
it.
You're Frank Bruno. And so because one has become displeased at the non-recognition of myself, one chooses...
Put him out in the rain.
Indeed, one chooses to eliminate him from the cab of the lorry, and he must then walk in the rain.
Yeah.
Yes, that's good. I've just finished playing the part of Naughty Penguin in Mother Goose at Oldham Leisure Centre.
To celebrity stars in their eyes. I'm Matthew Kelly, and tonight I'm going to be just a little bit camp in a non-threatening ITV-friendly kind of way. Please welcome our first star guest, Patrick Moore!
Good evening.
So, Patrick, my love, which star would you like to be?
Well, tonight, Matthew, I'm going to be Ursus Minor 4372, approximately 300 billion light-years from the Earth.
Well, grab a helmet and away you go!
Can you hear me, Major Tom?
Hello, I'm Charlie Dimmock. Welcome to Charlie's Garden Army. Now, if you're wondering what this noise is, don't worry, it's just my old bazookas slapping together. They're excited about being on telly again. Today, we've come to a beautiful garden in Northern Ireland, home to one of the province's leading political figures. And indeed, I'm now joined by the Reverend Dr. Ian Paisley.
Hello, Charlie. Oh, and hello there to your little scamps. Shouldn't you have them on a lead or something?
What are we going to do with this beautiful garden?
Well, as you can see, Charlie, there's quite a lot of greenery around, so I'd like that removed. And what I'd really like is a few orange trees.
Oh, no, I'm afraid oranges won't grow in Northern Ireland.
No, they don't have to be orange trees, just trees that are orange. And I'd like orange grass and orange flowers and a little orange fountain in the corner with orange sunny delight coming out of it.
Okay, let's get to work. Well, just a few hours later, and our garden has been transformed into a vision in orange. Are you pleased with what we've done, Ian?
I am, yes. I mean, I can't wait to see his face.
Whose face?
Jerry Adams. You don't think I do this to my own garden?
What the feck have you done to my garden?
Hello, Jerry. I tell you, this will get your back for the time you tied my laces together in the middle of the drum crane march.
Now, that was funny.
So for now, it's goodbye from me and goodbye from them.
I was sharing a pot of Earl Grey with Thora Heard just the other day. Right before Sing Something Simple on Radio 2, when Thora paused in the middle of her third macaroon, having noticed an article in the Daily Mail espousing the virtues of the Queen Mother on her 100th birthday. Thora scanned the paper with her national health spectacles and looked at me. Alan, she said, groping for the penultimate Ettles cake. The Queen Mother surely is a national treasure, and it's right the whole nation comes together in tribute. But let's face it, when it comes to brute strength and extreme fighting, we know who the real Queen is, don't we? Her words cast me back to a warm July evening in 1985, when Thora and the Queen Mother squared up to each other round the back of Harry Ramsden for some bare-knuckle fighting to decide once and for all which of them was Britain's most loved old lady. The Queen Mother got first blood, raking her nails across Thora's face and kicking her legs from under her. But Thora, trooper that she is, leapt up like a woman possessed and booted Her Majesty in the throat, using a manoeuvre she'd appropriated from giant haystacks. The palace later attributing the Queen Mother's subsequent difficulty in swallowing to a stray fishbone. Showing the true Blitz spirit, the Queen Mother rallied. But with the crowd baying for blood, finally a sickening crunch indicated that Thora was indeed victorious, and that the Queen Mum would yet again require a new hip. So as Thora gazes fondly at the flowery hat nailed to the wall, taken as a trophy of that fateful night, I'd like to take this opportunity to say to you, as Thora's manager, that the masked mauler, a.k.a. Thora, will be taking on both Molly Sugden and June Whitfield in a three-way tag team event outside Freeman, Hardy and Willis in Whitley Bay this coming Friday. Let's get it on.
Well, this is not at all good. It appears we've been transmitted to Skaro, home of the most evil race in the cosmos, the Daleks.
It is the Doctor! Exterminate! Exterminate!
Oh, dear, aren't we awfully flustered? Yes, indeed, my delectable audience. It's me again. And this is So Doctor Who! It is. It really is. Now, OK, so let's have you on your feet, everyone. You too, Doctor! Now, stay standing. Stay standing if you are not a race of psychopathic deviants.
That's not fair. We want to sit down, but we can't.
Oh, dear, poor, poor Dalek.
You've been listening to Dead Ringers, starring John Coleshaw, Jan Ravens, Kevin Connolly, Mark Perry and Phil Cornwall. The associate producer was Adam Brumley, and it was produced by Bill Dare. The writers were John Holmes and Andy Hurst, Nev Fountain and Tom Jameson, Simon Blackwell, Dave Cohen and Paul McKenzie, Jess Foster, Lawrence Howarth, John Coleshaw and Henry Naylor.
BBC Radio 4. Culture Secretary Chris Smith has said he may bring in an independent body to govern the BBC. Well, he'll have to get past me first. The only sort of independent body Chris Smith need worry about is his own. Weighed down with concrete and dropped in the Thames.